Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 19 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. And I don't know if you listened to last week's episode on the secret to eternal youth, but if you did and you don't know me very well or what I'm all about, you may have gotten the impression that I am a total materialist running from one book or movie or recipe to another. And, well, on one hand, I am that, but I'm also a big believer in the power of now, and I do my best to do my book hopping and idea munching in a state of mindfulness. So I wanted to do a kind of follow-up episode to that and talk a bit about what it means to live in the now and how that, too, is the secret to eternal youth and, if not happiness, at least contentment. I hear a little crackling. I hope you guys aren't hearing that. I'm going to try to be really still because it seems like every time I move my head, it makes the crackling worse. And if that were bad enough, I don't know if you saw the last video I did on the giving tree where I talked about being upset about my neighbors chopping down a tree. That experience actually, that happened on Friday, and then Saturday morning I woke up and went and got that little piece of bark I told you about in the video and saved it because I was upset that there wasn't going to be anything left of that tree. Well, there is, and they're working on it today. They cannot kill this tree. They have dug so deep down into the roots, and six people have been working on it with axes, not all at once, or they would be chopping each other up, but taking turns with an axe. And I think they burnt the motors out on two chainsaws. So if you hear chainsaws right now or a loud, weird thumping noise, that is what it is. They are in the process still of killing my giving tree, which is morbid and sad and happening as we speak. So just throwing that out there in case it gets noisy, because it does get noisy sometimes as I do this show from home in my living room. But about what we're talking about today and living in the now, I used to be a very anxious person. I was riddled with anxiety, and as I know you've heard me talk about many times, that manifested in weird social phobias and even escalated into agoraphobia, which is basically the fear of leaving one's house. And I had that, and I'm so very happy to say that I no longer have this problem. I no longer suffer from anxiety and the resulting depression, and I am a person who's able to live in the now, if not all of the time, enough of the time to make a difference. And learning about what it means to live in the now and learning how to meditate and things like that, that was one of the tools that helped me. There are many tools, and I know you've heard me talk about the different healing modalities that I used and food being very important. But living in the now is one of the things that greatly helped me. And I guess I'm assuming that you know what I'm talking about when I say living in the now. Living in the now, it might be something that you can grasp rather quickly on an intellectual level. It's about being present to what is and living in the moment. So, yeah, we all get that. But as far as understanding goes, a deep understanding that becomes a real knowing, it is something that you have to experience. And that is why so many of us meditate. Meditation is one of the best, if not the best, way to train yourself to release the past, let go of your need to project into the future, and to just be here now. And once you're able to just be here now, you feel at peace. And of course, there are many ways to meditate, and moving meditation is a powerful way to practice being in the now all throughout your day. So you can give your full attention to driving your car to work, washing it, each dish in the sink, brushing your teeth, or going for a walk. You can practice releasing thoughts of anything else, anything other than what you are doing in the moment, and you can release all thoughts about what you are doing in the moment as well. Unless you have a disability of some kind, you do not have to think about putting one foot in front of the other when you're walking, or moving your fingers in a circular direction when you're shampooing your hair. These are things that you do automatically. And so when you're doing these things that you do automatically, that is a wonderful opportunity to practice releasing all judgment and analysis and to just be. So, you know, you're experiencing your hands, massaging your scalp and the smell of the shampoo and the fluffy fizziness of the bubbles, and you're just experiencing that rather than thinking, I might be losing my hair. I think I'm losing my hair. This is a horrible haircut that I've got. My hair is way too thin or frizzy or big or long or thick or whatever you think it is. Instead of having a judgment on what you're doing, I'm wasting water. I shouldn't be in here so long. I wish I could stay in here forever. My kids are driving me nuts. Instead of having those kind of thoughts when you're in the shower washing your hair, you can just be present to the moment and find a little moment of peace and have a real Calgon, take me away kind of moment. And if you have a hard time imagining letting go of all thought, just practice focusing on one thought at a time. And breathwork is great for this, as you can limit your thoughts to in, out, in, out. And that's it. As you place your attention on the air moving in and out and in and out of your lungs and nose and abdomen, in, out, in, out. That is one of the simplest meditations that I know. And I deliberately am using the word practice here because being in the now is a spiritual practice. It's something you practice. It's something that you do repeatedly day after day as a way of returning to that calm, peaceful center within. It's not so much about arriving. In fact, most of us will never arrive. So thinking of it as a practice is a good way to keep from judging yourself each time you find yourself far outside the realm of now. And how do you know if you are far outside the realm of now? That's easy. You will feel uncomfortable or kind of relentlessly driven by the ego. So, for example, thoughts of the past often lead to regret, shame, sadness, wistfulness, longing, guilt. Thoughts of the future can lead to longing too, and a whole lot of worry and stress. But being present to what is happening right at this very moment is your one chance to escape all that, which I think is a very beautiful thing and a very handy ability to develop within yourself. So think about it. Here's a good example. I don't know if it's a good example, but it's an example. You could literally be on death row, and your number could be up in 1 hour. So what are you going to do with that 1 hour? You could either wallow in the past that brought you to this point, you know, writhing in the agony of regret of what brought you there, or you could be dreading the future and fearing what may be a very painful end, or even just the end itself. Or there's an alternative. You could be sitting and comfortably enjoying your last meal, savoring each bite and being grateful for the miracle of having such exquisite taste buds and capable of having a tongue that can deliver the wonderful pleasures of food. Does that sound far-fetched? Maybe it is for most of us, but it is possible. And I believe that it's not only possible, it is your birthright. We are all meant to live in peace, and we are all more than capable of living in the now and living in the present and escaping all of that weird, scary stuff that we put on ourselves when we think about the future, when we think about the present. And I'm not saying never, never, never dip into your memories or imagine the possibilities that your future may hold for you, because obviously there can be a lot of beauty there. And I actually think that envisioning the future is a wonderful way to consciously manifest what it is that you want to bring into your life. So, yeah, that's a whole other topic, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if you find yourself in a state of dis-ease, if you find yourself feeling tense or uncomfortable, there's a way to escape that, and that is to get out of your thoughts of the past or the future and get into the now. And a cool trick that I learned from Eckhart Tolle is to ask yourself, and I didn't learn this directly from Eckhart. I know it sounds like that. Most of my teachers are books. A cool trick that I learned from Eckhart Tolle is to ask yourself in any given moment if you feel at ease. Because believe it or not, you should. You should feel at ease. And I say believe it or not because many of us have so acclimated to a state of uneasiness that we scarcely know anything else. But the truth is, if you are feeling tension of any kind, frustration or stress, or you're in a state of resistance, you are resisting what is. You are resisting what is happening to you right now, and what is here before you and all around you in the moment. If you resist what is happening in this moment, you will not be at ease. I feel like I'm talking in circles a little bit here, but if you resist what is happening in this moment, you will not be at ease, is the point I'm trying to make in this circular fashion. You may be bored. You may feel irritated, impatient, frustrated, weirdly off, or even sorry for yourself. And the good news is you can change all that in the blink of an eye, and it really is just about choice. And once you recognize that you are not feeling at ease, once you realize that your mind is elsewhere, you have the opportunity to choose otherwise and to bring it back to the present. And that's what I choose to believe the whole Christ will return in the blink of an eye bit that I grew up with is all about. And the way I was taught that was that you'd better be on point because Jesus could return at any moment and you don't want to get caught with your pants down, much less left behind. And now if that is not a stressful thought, I don't know what is. Christ, as many esoteric and philosophical leaders have pointed out, is not a single entity. It is a state of being, a consciousness that we all have access to. And I'm sure that you've heard the term Christ consciousness at least once in your life, and you may have heard it being defined as living from heart center, which is true. But what is equally true is that it is also living in the now and being fully present to what is, and that being present and fully accepting of what is now is living from heart center. Eckhart Tolle has a passage in his book, The Power of Now, which is all about what I'm talking about today, and an amazing, life-changing read. He has a passage in that book about this, and I'm just going to read it to you because I think he makes this point eloquently, more eloquently than I can. He says, "The second coming of Christ is a transformation of human consciousness, a shift from time to presence, from thinking to pure consciousness, not the arrival of some man or woman." A shift from time to presence. I know many of you Einstein fans out there understand that time is a man-made construct to help us orient ourselves and coordinate our lives, but time is not real. So you can shift from having a time-centered consciousness to being present to the moment, and you can find some relief in that. He goes on to say that avatars, divine mothers, enlightened masters, the very few that are real, are not special persons. without a false self to uphold, defend, and feed, they are more simple, more ordinary than the ordinary man or woman. And anyone with a strong ego would regard them as insignificant or more likely not see them at all. If you are drawn to an enlightened teacher, it is because there's already enough presence in you to recognize presence in another. And I am certainly not one of those people who believes that ego is bad or that we must deny ourselves material pleasures in order to achieve nirvana. And I'm not saying that that's what Eckhart Tolle is saying, but I just wanted to throw that in there because I think sometimes the word ego gets a little misconstrued, and I think we need an ego just to function in this world. It's a very handy-dandy tool that we all have at our disposal. I guess I don't think we have to deny ourselves this, you know, material plane, the pleasures of the material plane in order to achieve nirvana. And I do believe that a state of being in Christ consciousness and enjoying a fantastic hot fudge sundae are not mutually exclusive. In fact, I think the two can greatly enhance each other. How many times have you mindlessly downed a bowl of ice cream or a bag of chips because you were upset? You totally missed the whole experience, the exquisite flavor and texture, because you were too busy drowning your sorrows in, you know, potato chips and numbing out. And that is no way to live life. Italians seem to have a great understanding of this when they say la dolce vita and proudly, you know, claim to be living the good life. Life is good, and it's not something to be denied. And if you really don't want to be left behind, as the Christians that I grew up with were often threatening me with, don't be left behind. If you really don't want to be left behind, I don't think it's so much about confessing your sins and following all of the rules in the Bible as it is about being present to each moment. You don't want to be left behind on your own life. You don't want to be left behind on this gift that you have been given of experiencing this planet and all of the wonders it has to offer, all the books you can read, all the movies you can see, all the friends you can experience, all the traveling you can do. You're going to enjoy all of that on a whole other level the more that you can be present to the now. And Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about surrender, which I know is a word that can often have a negative connotation. But surrender is, it's not a negative word when you consider it from this point of view. True surrender does not mean to passively put up with whatever situation you find yourself in and to do nothing about it, nor does it mean to cease making plans or initiating positive action. Surrender is the simple but profound wisdom of yielding to rather than opposing the flow of life. And again, that was an excerpt from The Power of Now. And when I read that, the first thing that comes to mind is martial arts. In martial arts, if you hold a rigid stance when someone is punching you in the face, it is going to hurt a lot. It may just hurt so bad that it knocks you out. But if you can yield and go with the flow of the punch, if you can flow with the direction of velocity of that punch, you can avoid so much pain and probably stay conscious enough to stay in the fight, which also reminds me of drunk drivers, weirdly enough. Many drunk drivers survive horrific car crashes because they are too drunk to flex up and resist the impact of the crash. They just bend like rubber dolls around the steering wheel and dashboard. And I don't know why my mind immediately jumps to these morbid examples, but hopefully you will get the point. And to anyone who really wants to dive deeply into the experience of living in the now and in a state of non-resistance, I highly recommend looking into Taoism. The Tao Te Ching, or just the Tao, as many of us call it. And the best, most approachable way I know of doing that is to pick up a copy of Wayne Dyer's Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, and to spend 81 days reading that book, because it's broken into 81 sections, small little tidbits where he takes, you know, each verse of the Tao, and then he breaks it down into a very friendly, easy to understand kind of way that makes a perfect devotional. Starting your day with that book, I mean, you could spend 10 minutes just reading it, and it would definitely help you kick off your day and put some cool ideas in your head about what it is to be present and to live in the now of the Tao, the Tao of the now. Or you could do what I do and spend like a good 30 minutes with each section every day, and you know, you read it, you contemplate, you do some meditation, but either way I think you would get something out of it. And 81 days is not a lot of time, in my opinion, to devote yourself to doing this, and it's a really great experience. I've actually gone through the Tao a number of times, and I've already done this book, but I'm in the middle of doing it right now. I think I'm on verse 15 maybe, and it's just a great tool for starting your day and for kicking off a practice. Of course, you can just do a meditation practice every morning, too. But if you're like me and you know, like an intellectual approach, Wayne can kind of, you know, give you some cool ideas to chew on. He makes a suggestion at the end of every sentence of how to practice the Tao that day. And the Tao is not entirely about living in the now, but it's so much to do with that. And that's a big, important component of it. And I will wrap things up here by reading one of my favorite lines from the Tao. It is actually from verse 8, and it says, "One who lives in accordance with nature does not go against the way of things. He moves in harmony with the present moment, always knowing the truth of just what to do." So go with the flow, live in the now. And speaking of being in the moment, I hope that you will be in the moment with me next week. I am going to commemorate my 20th show. Yay, I've reached 20 shows. And I'm going to commemorate my 20th show by revisiting the most popular episode to date, which was called Guided Magic, Finding Your Soul's Purpose, and inviting you all to participate. So this show is going to be all about you, and hopefully you will be co-creating it with me. And there are a few ways you can do this. You can leave me a question or a comment about finding your soul's purpose on Facebook, on my Facebook page, Joanna DeVoe, JoAnnaDeVoe. Or you can email me at joannadevoe@gmail.com. Any questions or statements you want to make about the subject. Or if you're really brave, you can just call in and talk to me. I'm allowed 5 callers in my little 30-minute window of time here. So if you do want to do that, please shoot me an email or post a message on Facebook. Message me somehow. Send a carrier pigeon. So I know that I need to be ready for a live caller, because I've never done this before, and I don't know what kind of technical glitches I may run into. And also, I want to know what to expect. So, you know, if only 2 of you want to call in, then that gives me time to take more of the written questions or statements. You can also, if you feel you're a person that who has found your soul's purpose, I would love to hear all about that. What is your purpose? How did you find it? What was the difference between the way you were living before you feel you found your soul's purpose and the way you're living now? So it's not just about questions. But if you have questions about finding your soul purpose, that would be great, too. I don't know how much of a guru I am in that regard, but I'm very opinionated, and I have some ideas. And I like talking about this stuff, so I'm happy to talk about it with you. And if you want to know what I'm up to in the meantime, I am always up to something. You can visit me at www.joannadevoe.com. And hopefully I will get a chance to talk to you next week. Much love. Peace.